Father, we pray, we thank you, Lord, as we come to you, we thank you for your presence. Just the privilege of being in your presence, not only that, but having your presence in us. And for this, we ask you, Lord, that through the presence of the Spirit of truth that is abiding in us, we pray that you will lead us into all the truth, like you promised he will do it to us. As we open the scripture, open what is written, so the truth that is contained in this written word will transform us, Father. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Happy Easter. Or rather, what was the Greek word? Christos en Anesta. Is that right? Jesus is risen. So let's open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a very, very powerful passage here. Okay, we're going to start from verse 1. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. You receive in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, underline this, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is important. And that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as one who abnormally born or born out of time. Another translation would say. And let's jump all the way to verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, if we are then found to be false witness about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep, those who died in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. This is this event today that we are celebrating is what sets us apart from any other belief system in the world. Like somebody wrote once, there's thousands of belief system religion in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. I like that. Yeah. And Christianity, you know, there are variants in Christianity. Even today, we have people, this generation, the deconstruction generation. That's nothing new. In the mid-century, there's a generation called, like from the 17th to 18th century, there's a generation where that is called the Enlightenment. Have you heard that? Even some Christians during that time, they call themselves the deists. One of them called Ray Maris, who deny the, well, try to reinvent the story of Easter. He's an apologist, a philosopher, an apologist in the Enlightenment era. He wrote concerning the resurrection. He said, the disciples after Jesus' death were unwilling to abandon the kind of life they had led with Jesus. So they stole the body and hid it and proclaimed to all the world that he would soon return as Messiah. However, they waited for 40 days before making this announcement in order that the body, should it be found, would be unrecognizable. You take it back even to the time when Jesus was raised from the dead. A lot of people denied that. So it happened in the time of Paul. As I was doing my preparation, as I looked at this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this chapter 15, is the longest chapter in all of Paul's writing. As a matter of fact, in all of the New Testament, it is the longest chapter in the way that one chapter of 58 verses discuss one theme, only one theme. In the Gospels, there are longer chapters, but they have various discussions, change themes of discussions. But Paul, on this subject of resurrection, he took the whole chapter, 58 verses, to discuss the resurrection. Why? Because at the time of his writing, there was an infiltration of wrong teaching, which denied the resurrection of Jesus. There's no resurrection. And you notice in his presentation, he talked about it twice, he mentioned, according to the scripture. As I studied the whole, the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts, pretty much most of their preaching, more of their sermons are about the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, the resurrection, as a fact, that it is the testimony, not just the testimony of people, witnesses, but also the testimony of the scripture. That is the foundation of all their preaching, pretty much. The first century apostles, or the original apostles. And here, according to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, we read it. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are safe if you hold firmly, if you hold firmly to the word. What word did I preach to you? Which one did I preach? The resurrection. Yeah. And that Christ died for you, for our sins, according to scriptures. And that he was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to scriptures. This principle of according to scriptures, it is so important to the apostles that, like I said, in their preaching in the book of Acts, let's just use Peter even. In Acts chapter 2, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he began his sermon in verse 5 all the way to verse 32. And let's pick up from verse 25 to 28 here. He quoted pretty much Psalm 22, verse 25. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Verse 26, therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Verse 27, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption, and you have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence. This is one of those psalms that I mentioned to you last week, I think, the Psalms of Distress. Psalms means songs. In other words, the psalmists write songs, and they often express their experience. But here's the thing. Peter, reading the Psalms, and his understanding of the Psalms, we can see, after saying that, you know, after quoting that psalm, he did that only to push the point in the following verses that David was speaking not about his own experience, but he was speaking about Jesus. Read verse 29. Brothers, he says, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried. And his tomb is here today with us now. Verse 30, listen to this, what he's saying. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body decay. Because he was quoting that from the in that sermon, you will not abandon my soul to Hades. That's from the book of Psalms. He said, David died, so he couldn't be speaking of himself. And he said, being a prophet, he spoke of Jesus. Yeah. Let's see what Paul said in Acts chapter 13. Once again, he preached in Acts chapter 13. And in this case, he quoted from Psalm 16, verse 10 to 11. Now, when you go to Acts chapter 13, verse 35, Paul quoted this psalm. Same statement, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, which is Hades or the lower part of the earth, we can say hell, you know, or let your Holy One to see corruption. Once again, Paul made a point that this psalm is referring to Jesus. Because in Acts 13, verse 36, he said, for when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. That's a description of people passed away, and was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed, because it says, you will not, you know, in that psalm, let your Holy One see corruption or decay. He said, well, David died after serving the purpose of God in his generation, and his body decayed. But the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. I want to just mention a little bit. Is my phone here? Hang on. I just thought of scripture, and I yeah. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Can you put that up? 2 Peter chapter 1. I think it's verse 16. Okay. This is how they see, right? This is Peter was testifying of his experience on the mountain when Elijah and Moses came and visited them while they were with Jesus, all right? And Peter said, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power of and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We were eyewitnesses of this majesty. We were there. For when he received honor and glory from the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on that holy mountain. Now listen to this. Verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. Another translation says this, but we have more sure word. In other words, as supernatural as what we saw, this is a more sure word. And of course, after that, Paul talks about the eyewitnesses, you know, that we just mentioned before. And of course, through the gospel, we read the story about the empty tomb. The women went to the tomb, and empty tomb, and Peter, and like Paul said, some are still alive today, 500 of them. In other words, what he's saying is, if you don't believe it, there are 500 who will tell you what it is, that Jesus was raised. 500 of them. What is the point of trying to prove that Christ is risen? He gave the point from verse 14 to 19. If Christ is not raised, verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, so is your faith. More than that, verse 15, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we are testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, listen to this, your faith is futile. And worse still, you are still in sin. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. So here's the thing. Five things I want to say in the context of our generation now. If there's no resurrection, our faith is in vain, pretty much what is presented here. And second, preachers are just liars. And you guys, what's the point? You're still in sins. And Christians who are now dead, who have abandoned their former religious conviction, whether they're Muslim or Buddhist, whatever, they are lost. And among the pluralistic society, we are the most pathetic people. We're believing something that is not true. Oh, but no. Verse 20, then Paul gives this significance of resurrection. We're going to continue about this thing next week, but it's almost like he closes this discussion also as an introduction for the following that he's going to present. Verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit. So if there's a first fruit, there'll be second fruit, third fruit, you know, whatever. Of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, thematically, the Bible begins, when you look at the Bible narrative, as I read this, it reminds me of just the whole context of the big picture of the Bible narrative. But the Bible begins with creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God creates the heaven and the earth. And the Bible ends with the book of Revelation. And Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, you know how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? By the time you arrive at the last book of the Bible, Revelation 21, verse 1, the Bible talks about new heaven and new earth. So guess what? The story of the Bible begins with creation to a new creation at the end time. However, for Paul, because of the resurrection of Christ, new creation is almost like there's an invasion of the future to the now. New creation begins at the resurrection of Jesus. Why? Because Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I believe. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. All who are in Christ Jesus are new creation. Yeah. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus brings the reality of the new creation. While supposed to be at the end, it brings it forward to you and I can live in that truth of new creation now. And Paul's language is pretty much like that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He said, we are his workmanship or craftsmanship created in Christ Jesus. You realize that's our Genesis language, how God handcrafted us. We are handcrafted by, you know, God, craftsmanship. But he uses the Genesis language only to speak about the new creation created in Christ Jesus. And the good news is this. Before that, Paul said, we are not saved by works. And then he wrote this because none of us are saved by grace, a few verses before that. And then Paul introduced that in verse 10. But we are created for good works. Are you guys getting this? We are not saved by works, but for good works. So in this closing of this his presentation, Paul pretty much says, just as death came, you know, in verse 22 to 23, as you read it there, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all men, and he went all the way to verse 23, pretty much what Paul is saying is, just as death came through a man in the first creation, so too life comes through a man in the new creation. That is what we believe, guys. That is our faith. In other words, God has invested so much into mankind, beginning from the first creation and the second creation. He restored that. Death, because of their stupidity, Adam through him, death came. So what Paul says is, because of one man, death came, but God has restored it through one man. Now it comes life, Jesus himself.